So Akasha was this. There were four Gulluses, four exiles in Jewish history, besides Egypt. It's really Egypt. And had we only done Egypt and stayed the 400 years we were supposed to be there, then there wouldn't be another Gullus after that. But since we left early, because we had to leave early, because you weren't on a certain level, so we spread out that Egyptian Gullus over the course of four other Gulluses. The four other Gulluses are Bavel, which destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, then we were there 70 years in Gullus Bavel, between the two Beis HaMikdashes. Then we have Yavon, Madai, Greece, Persia, and the one now is Edom. As a simple menomic, is that the word? Rosh HaTevis is a memory trick. When we went down to Egypt, the first pasuk says, Ve'ela Shemois B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. Haboim is five letters, and the early Zayar Chida, they say that the word Boim is an acronym of the Gulluses. If you ever want to remember, so Beis is Bavel, Aleph is Edom, Yud is Yavon, Greece, Mem is Madai, which is Pras. Those are the four Gulluses. Now we said also that in the story, which we saw in Esther numerous times, the story kept on saying that the leaders of Paras and Madai, Madai and Paras, the Gemara switched the Pesukim around, that Achashverosh was a Persian king. So that was the Gullus, a Persian Gullus, that ended, and then the second Beis HaMikdash was built. So the question we had last week was, what is Haman doing in that story? As a leader in the party, Haman is Amalek. What's he doing there? In fact, we said from the Vilna Gaon, the Vilna Gaon said that when it says 500 people were killed in Shushan Abira, they were all Amalekim. And 75,000 people killed after that, all in Megillas Esther, all Amalekim. Which means Amalek was seriously integrated into the Persian exile. Because Shushan Abir was the capital of only Chashava people. It was Shushan and Shushan Abir. But the capital of Shushan, by Shushan Abir, had only ministers. It was a Chashava town. And 500 of those people were Amalekim. Which means Amalek integrated itself into society, and they were part of the Persian society. Which means even though Achashverosh is the Madai Paras, he's the main character in the story, he's the king, and it's called the Persian exile, but the Persian exile had Haman, which is Amalek. That's how he started that Kasha. And we see from there. And then we get to this Gemara, which we're going to go into. It'll be fascinating. So first, let's say another wild idea. Say, we said here that the four Gulluses are found in the word Habayim, Beis, Aleph, Yud, Mem. But there's a fascinating Kabbalistic thing. There's in Daniel. In Daniel, Perek Zion, Daniel had a dream with a vision with what's going to be the future Gulluses. So it starts out in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylonia, this Perek Zion. Daniel saw a dream and visions in his head upon his bed. He then wrote down the dream and told the major parts. Now, on the side article says, what is this dream about? Daniel's vision of the four beasts, four animals. I'm just going to read the side. We're not going to read all the details. It's fascinating stuff and not so easy to understand. And here it says, article has on the side the fourth beasts. The first one is called, which he doesn't say the name. It just says the first one is a lion. That's the first one. He describes it. Very interesting line. Second one is a bear, B-A-R. Third one is a leopard. And the fourth one doesn't even have an animal to it. It's just even stranger. And Chazal tell us, what are these four beasts? They represent four Gullusim. The lion is Bavel. Bavel is the Ari. The Ari of Bavel is the Babylonian exile. The Persian one is a bear, B-E-A-R, with similar to a dove. The Greek one is a lemur, a leopard. And ours, the fourth one, is going to be Edom. So we have four. Not only do we have the four letters in Abayim, that's just to remember it, more than that, but to remember it, we now have with in the dream of Daniel, we have four separate nations. And again, it's the lion, the bear, leopard, and Edom. The Gemara by Dezara, Dav Beis, the beginning of Masechta by Dezara, has what is going to happen, Lasad Lavi Bekarav, when Mashiach shows up. And it says that what's going to happen is all of the nations are going to gather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach, and they're going to say, listen, we want in on this. The Messiah? We want in on the Messiah. That looks good. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'll Tichnasu Lefanu Barvuvia. Don't come all in one shot. You know, separate and come slowly. So Beis and Beis, it starts the game. It's all the articles, the English is easy. One Beis and Beis, about five lines down from the top. And it says, who's coming in first? Miad Nichtas Alefanov Malchus Roimi. Malchus Roim, the Rome, which is Edom, which is today, they come in first. And they start giving a whole drasha here. Now, first thing where it says, why are they going first? Why? I mean, there's a lot of nations out there. Why do they go first? My time, why do they go first? Mishum de Chashiva, they're considered Choshev. And then it has Psukim to tell you why they're Choshev. Rome, Edom, Christianity, if you want to go that way, is considered Choshev, they go in first. What you guys do over here? I'm the fun of they started saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, what? We made marketplaces. They start defending themselves. We made marketplaces. And we made bathhouses. We created gold and economies. And we did it for the Jews. Everything's for the Jews. Because they should ask with Torah in order for them to learn. Remember, the better the world is physically, the better it is for the Jews to learn. And tells them, you fools. You did that. You did it for yourselves. You wanted marketplace against the drasha. And the famous Briskarov, which is really earlier also, he didn't call them liars. He said, you're fools. What do you mean? Were they liars or they fools? They said we did it because of the Jews. So are they liars or are they just fools? So the famous line is, Eina Chanami. They weren't liars. It was done for the Jews. They didn't have that intent. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world through the Jews. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the Jews need to have X, Y, and Z, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these non-Jewish nations create X, Y, and Z. They're thinking their own thoughts, but really it's for us. So he didn't call them liars. They weren't liars. When they came forward and they said, listen, we did this for the Jews, they were telling the truth. We did it for the Jews. Hashem said, yeah, you didn't do it for the Jews. You did it for yourself. I did it for the Jews. And it's a whole drasha here. We're still on Beis HaMebeis of the Romans. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu bashmatzes them. Next. The next nation gets up. Okay. Yotze Malchus Roimi. The Roman Empire leaves. V'nichnase Malchus Paras Acharya. And now the Persian Empire enters. And now the Persians go in. Very, very similar story. They say, we did this, we did that. And Hashem said, no, you did it for yourselves. So the Gemara has the obvious kasha. Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you do, they're giving all the terutzim. So the Gemara says, I understand something. V'chimi achadav Malchus Paras L'Malchus Roimi. The first person walked in. Rome walked in. And they realized they made a mistake. What's the next one coming in and saying the same thing? They should have known the tainus. They said, yeah, we thought they were different. Why? These people destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and we built the Beis HaMikdash. Paras, we just said now, was Achashverosh, and Achashverosh's son built the second Beis HaMikdash. Edom destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So he says like this, we knew that we have the same answer, the Etzem. We didn't build anything for the Jews. We did it for ourselves. But we have one thing better than them. I said, they're a destruction of the temple. We built the temple. We're ahead of the game. But in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's all not. Tosfos says Akasha. Tosfos says Akasha. Three Tosfos in a row. First, Tosfos says one kasha. What's stronger, a lion or a bear? And they're a bear. Which one wins? That's for somebody else. Then Tosfos says, okay, we have four gullison. Four. So why only two stepping up to the plate? Where are the rest of them? Tosfos says, Mishum. The Gemara sort of asks this kasha as well, because these two will survive till Mashiach comes, which means of the four original nations, what do we say? Titus, where are you today? I mean, some of the original armies and nations don't exist today. There's no Babylonian Empire today. So since they weren't, even though there was a great Babylonian Empire, since they're not around when Mashiach comes, they can't step up and say, we did things for the Jews. They don't exist anymore. What does exist according to them, according to this Gemara? What does exist is Rome, Edom, and Paras. Because those are the two that came forward. So of the four Gullison, Madai, there's no Greek Empire today, right? They don't exist anymore. Paras does exist, we'll see. And Edom does exist. That's why these two out of the four are the ones that Gemara is discussing. So even though everyone does the same thing, they're all going to have the same time. We helped the Jews, you didn't help the Jews, the whole thing. The Gemara only says two of them came forward. Open Tosfos, and really the Gemara seems to say it, how they explain it. So our question now is going to be, how come only of the four, two survived? That's not fair. What, if all four were great, what did they do more than that? So the Teretz is going to have to be that these two have something else going for them. Because this is the question we should be asking ourselves. We have four Gullises: Babylonia, Greek, Paras, and Edom. What about Amalek? What is Amalek? So one approach, Amalek, we know for sure, we discussed it on the Thursday night, is a war l'dardar. Ki yad al keis ka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne will never be full and complete until Amalek is destroyed. Amalek is the main battle. So where is Amalek in this? How do you have four goals without Amalek? So one approach is going to be, it's Edom. One approach is Edom is Amalek. But very difficult to go with this, because when you go through the Pesukim, the Bnei Yavon is really where Edom comes from. That means he's really from a different thing. That's where the Rishonim hack about. Is Edom from Rome? Is that Amalek, which is later? Or is it from Bnei Yefes, Bnei Yavon? Maybe we'll do it a different week. But even without that, we could say Edom is Amalek. That's fine. And the second one's going to be what we started Matzah Shabbos. That within Paras, the Persian Empire, was Amalek. Amalek was Nichnas into the Persian Empire. And Amalek has a mila to it, to them, in an evil way. The Amalek Empire will be around until Mashiach comes. So whoever Amalek infiltrates, whoever Amalek gets into their system, they stick around. So Haman and 75,000 Amalekim got themselves into the Persian Empire, which meant the Persian Empire on some level is going to exist forever. And they were the leaders of the Persian Empire. Haman was one of the seven Sarim, 500 people in Shushan Abira. They were major players in the Persian Empire. So we said Matzah Shabbos that what happens was, within this Persian Empire that exists till today, what happens is there is Amalek inside of them. By the way, is there a country called Persia today? Well, yes and no. There was a country called Persia. They changed their names. When did they change their names? Mr. Moses was alive then. Not that he remembers. But they changed their names in the 1930s. What did they change the name to? Iran. Iran. Do you know why they chose the name Iran? Do you know what the name Iran means?
Iran.
Well, yeah, no. The word Iran is from the word Aryan. That's not me. You can Google this. It's the word Aryan. And people, it depends on which, you know, conspiracy was going on about government, which news you're going to read. Within the Iranian, well, it wasn't Iranian, it was the Persian. In the Persian Empire, in the 1930s, they realized that the Germans were moving up, and the Germans were running around saying, we are the master race because we are the Aryan nation. So Iran said, well, we're also an Aryan nation. Now, why would Iran think they're an Aryan nation? So you can read on Google different approaches. But according to what we're saying, it's very simple. They are the Iranian nation. They are Amalek. There's Amalek infiltrated into the Iranian Persian Empire, which could be that the reason why the Iranians today are so fanatically anti-Semitic toward the Jews is because part of them believes in the destruction of Klal Yisrael because they are from Amalek. They are Amalekim.
Haman is finished. Amalek is not finished. didn't say Haman is a Molech, then Edom comes
from... Oh, so he said Matzah Shabbos was... No, because when he killed Haman and the 10 kids and the 75,000, it does not say anywhere that they killed all the Malikim. It doesn't say that.
Even
that
means Haman's own children, the Gemara says, they weren't all killed.
Right. Haman's, excellent. Haman's own children didn't even all die, besides those who became to Bnei Brak. Right, I don't mean Haman and Amalek is the same thing. Haman, Amalek, and Esav, that genealogy of fanatical anti-Jewish stuff. As we pointed out in the past, which eventually we'll get to, I might spend a whole year on that, by the way. Tell you, sir, a whole year on proving there's two types of things in the world. There's two types of fights that Jews have. There's, and Rabbi Zalig Efstein once said, this is the reason why there are two rabbinic holidays. Most of the Yom Tovim during the era are biblical. You have to eat matzah and Pesach, it's biblical. Sitting in a sukkah is biblical. Torah says so. The two Rabbanim Dikah holidays are Purim and Hanukkah. Why'd they make two? You think the Jews only got attacked twice? No, we got attacked every 10 years, we're getting attacked. The Chol Hamoed, we're getting attacked. Why only two holidays? So his answer was because it was two different types of fights. There's the way they attack us spiritually and the way they attack us physically. So for example, by Hanukkah, it was a spiritual fight. Crusades, spiritual fight. What does it mean, spiritual fight? You're giving an option. If you give up the religion, you live. The Crusades came against the Jews and told them, join our religion. If you join, you're in. You don't join, you're out. That's what happened by Hanukkah. By Hanukkah, they told them, just give up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to kill you. We're not that violent. Just give up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it buzzed in the whole thing. Just give up Rish Chodesh. If you give up a couple of things, you're good for us. When it comes to the other side of the rabbinic holiday, Purim gives you no option. Haman didn't go around and say, you know what? I have a good idea. Jews, give up on Pesach. That's what we spoke a couple last year. We were speaking about Pesach. Give up on Pesach and I'll let you live. No, Haman didn't say that. Haman said, I'm killing all the Jews. What did the Nazis do? They had guys who were Christians, who grandfathers converted to Christianity, right? They shmad themselves and they were killing them. Why? Because when it comes to Haman, it's not about a spiritual war. It's a physical war. And it could be that some of the fanatics in Persia, now Iran, I have the same fanaticism. They're looking to blow the whole place up. They're not looking to have Jews to convert to Islam. Could be some, yeah, but not all of them. Because within the Paras Empire is mixed innovating inside of them is going to be this Amalek faction that started 2,000 years ago in the story of Haman. That's why there's some Amalek in there. So even though it's considered a Persian gullus, we have to know, it survives till now. The ones that survive, Edom either Legamri or only is also the way infiltrated, or Paras, has to be Amalek inside of them. Because we know that the war of Amalek is going to be Ladar Dar till the end of time, which means any empire that has Amalek within it, sadly to say, will survive. And the empires that have no Amalek inside of it will get killed out. Like Babel, there's no Babylonian empire today because they didn't have Amalek mixing within them. So that's what we have as a Agdama to understanding the Dar of Amalek. But since we know that the Thursday night class is only about Megillas Esther and the number 70 and all of this, so we have to go further into it. And we have to analyze what Amalek represents in all of this. We have a tefillah that we say, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? When we say it in Davening coming up on Pesach, we say it by the Shal Shagolim. Mipnei hayad shenishtalcha. Because of the hand that destroyed, was sent upon, I don't know what they'll do in English, destroyed our Mikdash. So I saw in a sefer that the word mipnei hayad, what's mipnei hayad? It means hey, five times the number 14. What's five times 14? 70. As we've been saying until now, that there's an ayin of the word Shema, which is good. And there's an ayin of the word Chazir, of Yechasemena Miyar Chazir, which is bad. Because on some level, the Amalekim faction of the world, this negative energy, relies on the tit-for-tat, yin-yang, of the 70 of us. So what does it mean? We said that when we say Shema Yisrael, and we have a big ayin in the Shema Yisrael, and if you look at the Siddur or the Chumash, has a big ayin, we're saying we believe in the 70 of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that good one, but there's a 70 of negative energy we have to beat out. But when we don't beat out the negative 70, because of the 70, Nishtach Yisrael. In the Beis HaMikdash, because that's what happens. Our survival is based on us understanding what our war is against, who we're fighting and how we're fighting, and representing that we have to know that Shema is the main thing. That's what we said last time, that Haman wanted to dafka kill Mordechai in the time of Shema. That's what it says. The morning when it says Kriya Shema. To destroy the Ayin. I told her to fall on Purim. To add on to this, we kept on saying the whole year, we've been discussing the Tachlis Shivim. His number 70 is the destruction of Haman on a tree that's 50 amas high. But we never discussed why he built a tree at 50 amas high. Why couldn't he build a tree at 49 amas high? 51 amas high? What's 50? Many answers. But one answer I saw brought down from a Kadman, because Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is 25 letters. Shema is 3. We're not going to go through the whole thing. 25 letters. We say Shema twice a day, and therefore it's 50 letters. So when I saw this the first time, I'm like, okay, that sounds like, okay, no. But according to what we're saying now, it's perfect. Because the whole idea of Haman was against the Jews, was against the Shema Yisrael, against the Grace of Ayin. We spoke about the Grace of Dalar and Dar. That's what it was all against. What about the Heyad? This I saw a Kabbalistic writing from a Sefer, even though it's a Kabbalistic writer, It's from the brother Klois. The brother Klois was from the first original Klois, a little shtiebel that all the greats of the Litvish Galiciano world came to, and they hung out there. And they were real Mekabalim, old Litvish Mekabalim. One of the Svarim that says a fascinating thing. In our world today, we know that we have, when we write the Sifrei Torah, or Siddur, we have Hashem's name is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. But we don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's for the witnesses. We say the Lashon of Adnus, the Lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the ruler of the world. And it goes Aleph Daled, then a Nun Yud. Those are the four letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that was a Yud Kei Vav Kei that will be there Bekarav, because the Yalal Kei's Ko will be full one day. We spoke about that. But you have an Aleph Daled Nun Yud. And he wants to say that the Aleph Daled Nun Yud, if we're paying attention to how he started full circle on the dream of Daniel, of the different Malchuses, it fits in, each one will be a different Gullus. So what was the first one? The first one was of the beasts, was the lion. What's a lion? How did you say it in Hebrew? Ari. By the way, it's going to go in order. So the first of the Gullison, you want to know the name of Hashem, Aleph Daled Nun Yud? The first is an Aleph, Ari. What's the second one? Was a Doiv. What was the third one? A Nemer, Nomer. And the Yud, again, that last beast there is not really, it's not really a thing, but it said it has 10 horns, I think it said. 10 horns, which is Yud. So the Aleph Daled Nun Yud represents the four Gullison Kleiswell is going to go through, in order, by the way. Ari, Doiv, Nemer, and then the Yud. Now let's work this out here. Now let's go through this ourselves. Now you guys should be going this. This should be getting on your own now. Of the four Gullison, we said in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, only two survived. Two survived. There's no Babel today. So that means the Aleph is missing. There's no Aleph. There's no Babylonian Empire today. What else is missing? The Nun. Yavon. What's left? The Yatal and the Yod. We just said a second ago. Mipnei Hayad Shenishtalcha means what? Yad, we said it's 5 times 14. 5 times 14 is 70. There's another way to do it. The Yad means these two nations that are going to stick around until the end of time. And it's a very fascinating idea. What do we say here in the Pasuk? It's very strange. Vayivin Moshe Mizbeach Hayikash Shmei Hashem Vayoyimer Ki Yad Al Keiska. What does the word Yad mean in that Pasuk? That the Dar of Amalek will be around forever. Ki Yad Al Keiska. But it's a very strange thing happening in this war. What happened? What does Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tell us? How did they fight Amalek in this war? What happened was Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, you go fight the war. I'm going to stand on top of the mountain. And what am I going to do? When we're fighting Amalek, we're fighting Esau, we're fighting Haman. What do you supposed to do? Kol Yaakov, Yedayim de Esau. They come al-Kharbach HaTichya. They come with a sword against us, and we come what? With tefillah. So I understand Moshe Rabbeinu should go to the top of the mountain and say, there's a war. You know what Jews do by a war? Kol Yaakov. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. He didn't daven only. He davened, what was the words over there? He davened, says it multiple times. It switches from single to plural. It says here, V'hoye kashiyara Moshe yodoy. V'gobi shal kashiniach yodoy. V'dei Moshe. Keeps on saying the hands. What are his hands doing there? What do your hands have to do with tefillah? In a real world. I'm saying, not what you're doing in yeshiva. What are the hands doing in tefillah? So they want to say like this, Avart, that there was something called Yedayim Yedei Esav. And it's true, the Kol Yaakov, the tefillah alone, should be what's against Yedayim Yedei Esav. We should use our power of speech, our power of tefillah, and win every war against them. But the problem is that their Yad is Gans good also. And their Yad has a Kiyam, because their Yad, we just said, has the name of Hashem in it, of the Aleph Daled Nun Yud. It has two letters of Hashem's name that is a real Kiyam. So what we have to do is, we have to take their Yad from them and turn it into a Yad to us. We have to turn the Yad from bad, evil to good. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just daven. He could have davened. No. He's davening with his hands, because he wanted him to see the hands. He wanted him to know the hands, to know the part of it as well. And what does that mean, the Yad? So there are different ways to understand it. So my way, there's two ways to look at things. And one is that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing very simple. He picked up his hands of the Yud Dalet, that's his hands, and he said, listen guys, this war we're starting now is going to continue on the Golos of Yud and the Golos of Dalet. It's not ending here. It's going to be around for a long time. I'm starting the war now, but I'm telling you what you got to look for. Whenever these nations come against you, understand they're Amalek as well. How to fight them. Other nations, bubble, you can fight a different way. But these nations understand the Yud and the Dalet means that. But there's two ways to look at the Yad Hashem. The Yad represents sometimes when people do things. You're doing something with your hands. You get down and dirty, as I say. Tefillah is important. But Jewish nation has one milo. We say, Nase v'nishma. That means we're going to do before that. The hand represents, in the Jewish theology, the phrase that people say when they want to say it's ich bin du, is koichi v'otzam yadi. My hands means I'm in control. In America, you believe, you work hard, you're successful. We don't believe that in Judaism. Hashem decides if you're successful. Working hard is a good idea, but it's not automatic. So koichi v'otzam yadi represents the idea that we come first. An eved, what's an eved? The phrase of an eved, that we always say an eved has no rights. An eved has no rights. What do you mean he has no rights? Yad eved ki yad rabbi. Which means he has no hands. What do you mean he has no hands? He has no ears, he has no white hands. It means he has no control. You have no control. You're an eved, you have nothing. Not nothing. Literally, you still eat, you go to sleep, but you have nothing. No control. The yad represents koich v'yad, when I say it's all about me. Esav represents all that. He was made form. He was born as Osoi. He was completely formed. Esav believed Al Charba Chayichya was I control who does what. The Jews have to say, no, 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 no. What we're doing is Nasav Nesh means we're giving our hands in tefillah. If you hold up your hands, there's two ways to hold up your hands. You can hold up your hands and say, Ich bin du, and my hands control everything. My work ethic controls everything. Or you could say, I'm going to daven and recognize that my hands are irrelevant. I'm showing Yashem my hands are clean. I'm davening if that's what all it's about. So what we have to work on now, because we're fighting against this war of Amalek possibly right now, if the Persian Empire, which is the Aryan Empire, is mixed up with the Edom Empire, with the Amalek Empire, we have to fight like we fight Amalek. How do we fight Amalek? Moshe Rabbeinu walked up to the mountain and said, this is how you fight Amalek. Kol Yaakov, you got to medav tefillah, you have to daven, that's very important. But you know what else you got to do? Clean your hands up. Show that it's nothing to do with us. Give over control, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and realize that he, capital H, is fully in control and running the world. The opposite of what Asa believes, the opposite of what Molech and Haman, all of them believe. They believe they have control. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control. And when we do that, then we turn the Hayad 4 times, 5 times, 5 times, 14 into what was Nishtalach against us, and we turn the Hayad into something that builds a new base of Mikdash Bekarav.